Hello, Jets fans. Welcome to this week's Jetstream review of the terrific 1-0 win over the Roar in Brisbane. Well, you probably saw the live videos and just some of the shenanigans that were going on at the Caxton Hotel. And fortunately, I've managed to track down two members of the podcast who have checked back into Jetstream HQ. The first is a guy that I believe is probably still using that Holbrook sauce bottle in everyday conversation. It's Bodie.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, mate. How are you? How's the head?
Next question.
Well, next introduction. Finally, he's the man, the myth, the legend. He's dedicated to a joke as he's as dedicated to a joke as they come. Because if you were in Brisbane and thought the humidity was bad, then you should have spent 3 hours in a brown poncho. It's when Wayne Coate Gilson. How are you, Glenn? Was the photo worth
good.
It?
Oh, it was totally worth it. It was fantastic. Except I got stick about the coat not being brown and being more olive. But that's all I could get. Apparently brown coats are hard to come by.
Well, it's typical that the paint guy is picking out the olive colour and being critical of it. And he's the guy that says olive as well.
Probably got some fancier name than that, like Greek Grove. Olive or something like that.
Jeez. Well, I should say as well that we were going to be joined by Ferns as well, but he is still to check in, and rumour has it that he's still up trying to get random people in a video, yelling down a video at the Caxton Hotel. So before he had his phone confiscated,
I have no recollection of him getting in the car to go home yesterday after being dropped off. So. I'm still not sure if he's got his way back to Brankston yet.
Let's hope for his sake that he has. Well, two opening questions this week, because we thought, well, why the hell not? We couldn't choose, so we just, why not do both? So the first question is, what is the best stadium, the best football stadium that you've been to, Bodes?
It would have to be, if I'm going to go for a live fixture, it will have to be the Santiago Bernabeu, Real Madrid.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
Real Madrid versus Getafe. Gareth Bale scored a double, one being a pearl of a free kick. So, yeah, that would be mine.
And that's probably where we will end that question, because there's no topping that.
He's going to be out. Nah, exactly.
Glenn?
I didn't realise it was just football, but if it's just football, it's
any stadium you want, right. Mate.
Oh,
we've got to talk to Bernabeu.
I still won't be able to do that. But
he's going to say Yilinga Oval, South Cardiff, where Michael Birdie scored a pen for South Cardiff all
night. Oh, God, how many? 8, 9, 10? if sports aside, like, you know, we can open to any sport, it's probably City Field, which is the Mets' new stadium. It used to be Shea Stadium, but they built a new stadium in probably about 10 years ago now. That was a good that was like a mecca for me going there. But as far as football is concerned, I haven't really seen too much abroad. Probably one in Peru was pretty good, except I didn't get to see a game there. I just walked there and walked around it for a bit.
Well, fair enough. No, very good. I like the sound of that. It sounds like a very interesting stadium, the mecca for the Mets.
My own personal mecca. It's not, yeah. There's better stadiums out there, but yeah.
Well, mate, very similar to mine. I mean, of course, I've been there once, Anfield. It was fantastic. I had seats 3 rows from the front, just in the corner near the cop. I couldn't get on the cop, but I had the likes of Jamie Carragher, and who's got calves like a tree trunk, warming up in front of me, Xabi Alonso taking a corner like that, and Daniel Agger running over to that corner once he scored one of the 4 goals that we saw against Blackburn Rovers that day. So
they were still in the Premier League that day. Good time.
Yeah. Paul Robinson was in goals. So but another stadium I thought that was pretty good. I didn't see a game there, but I did do a tour. Was Wembley. I thought it was. It was a really easy stadium to get to and to get around.
The new one,
yeah, the new Wembley. So, yeah. Second question. This is probably just going to be a short one. What's the first PC, Sega, Nintendo, PlayStation game that you played?
I guess the first console that we got. I'm going to age myself here. First console we got was the original Sega Master System, not the little one that had a little bubble top. This was like a foot long. It was massive and probably didn't have much going for it. But yeah, for some reason, electronics were much bigger back in the day. So, and that came with a built-in Alex the Kid in Miracle World. So that was probably the first one I played.
Okay, boat.
Yeah, Glenn, you have aged well. Mine was the Sega Saturn, and Sonic the Hedgehog was the first game I played.
All right. Awesome. Well, I'm kind of going to go along Glenn's. Ours was, our first system was the NES, and we had three games when we first got it. Mario 3, Kung Fu, and California Games. And the first game I remember playing was Kung Fu. So, yeah.
It was a really hard game. I remember that. That was really hard, like quite difficult to master, get through
the
levels.
I did finish it. Yeah, I did finish it. I was a lot older at the time, but I did eventually finish it. One of the things, you got back out and thought, I'm going to have a go at this. And once you learned a bit of strategies, you've got wiser in your gaming years. I'm very interested to hear what other people's first memories are. And if someone comes out with Pokemon or even Donkey Kong Country 3 or something like that, it'll make me feel even older. So, very good. Well,
Ferns will say something on the Atari, so that'll make us feel better.
Oh, absolutely.
Or the Commodore 64.
Grant will probably say something like Pong. So, look, before we get into talking about the match, we're going to listen to Fox Sports commentary of the game. So here it is.
And we're underway in the opening game of our Saturday night triple header. The Newcastle Jets look to get straight on the front foot.
Well, that's going to be Liam Miller as well. Congratulations to them.
Fantastic ball from Bogart. O'Donovan's in behind. Roy O'Donovan straight at Jamie Young in the end. And that shows that free kick given often against the player in possession. If they do grab the shirt, it's just the referee let it go that time. Petratos got a shout from Brown. Wayne Brown, the deflection. Really favoured Young in the end. Well, disappointingly from a Brisbane perspective. And the boots. Fired into McGree and continued his run. Andrew into boots. O'Donovan! Oh, Jamie Young deserves the plaudits there. It's a goal kick at the end of all that. And Cole Fuller made the run. Great kick out. Macaroni! And this time it's Jack Duncan making the save.
Well, there's good attack. And there's.
He's the target along with North, and Duncan kept it away from them. Back in cleverly. Oh, he had an empty net. Teed up by Christensen. Ivan Franjic couldn't keep the header down. That's all he had to do.
Well, Duncan does well here initially, but this is terrific from Christensen. And Franjic doesn't need to put that much work on the ball, actually. I don't think he realised how free he was and maybe even how close to goal he was, because it doesn't need that amount of work.
Trying to hit back in the corner count. Otiak about to deliver their second. It's deep. Took Duncan out of play. Papadopoulos was there.
Well, he is a massive danger from set pieces. A massive danger. And the Jets haven't paid due recognition of that. Popple Stanley and Hoffman are there, but they lose him. And it's a relatively free header. And he really should have finished that. A player of his quality. And such a threat. Not nearly.
Riley McGree just gliding his way through. McGree! Who tries the Naboot with the outside of his left boot this time? And Jamie Young inspired once more in the Brisbane goal.
Great one too. That's beautiful from O'Donovan. Great effort from Riley McGree. It's going to take something special to beat Jamie Young this afternoon.
Jugarkovic. Still Jugarkovic! Jamie Young forced to watch that one and grateful that it went wide of his right-hand post.
Yeah, that's a very
area of what Petratos can produce. Dimi Petratos, and Jamie Young just kept it out. The late dive. Suspended off the deck. Jugarkovic glides around Botiak, plays a killer ball. Joey Chandas! There's the goal! Newcastle always score! And Joey Chandas.
Look at this from Stevie Jugarkovic. Magnificent touch, straightens things up, in stride with the outside of the right boot, with a beautiful pass, and now the finish to match. That is superb football from the Jets. Great gather from Champion Chapness. It's a champion finish with the left foot. conviction in the penalty area, finally, and they get the result. Brilliant from Newcastle. Out right now, Thurgate bends one, what a ball, and Jamie Young kicks another one out, denying Riley McGree the sealer. There's the boos. You can hear what the Brisbane fans think about it. John Aloisi trying to keep everyone calm. But Feb 24 is a famous date in Newcastle's history. And they claim another 3 points at their happy hunting ground. 12 wins, just 4 defeats at Suncorp down the years.
Thanks again to Fox Sport for the ongoing use of their audio with those match highlights. Glenn, some interesting stats. It was even 50-50 possession, something that we really haven't seen this year. Did it really feel like that sort of game to you?
No, it didn't. I remember speaking to you afterwards and saying I thought Brisbane, especially in that second half, would have had a lot more possession and maybe edged it by about 5% or so. But I'd say on balance, like the first half, I remember checking the stats at half time while we were at the ground, and it was a surprise to see that we had the majority, only slight. But I would have thought Brisbane would have swung it back their way in the second half, especially in that there was about a 20-minute period there where they looked like they were kept coming on into our territory.
Bose, the stat that really surprised me after the game, having a look at it, there were 18 corners in the game. I know that you like to keep count of those.
I do like my corner bets.
Gamble responsibly. So yeah, bet on corners.
Much safer.
the shots, not necessarily on target, but the Jets had 20 shots to Brisbane's 11. I thought that it was actually much closer than that, and I didn't recall us having 20 shots during that game. It was a surprising amount.
Yeah, I personally probably took up 3 of those shots at the Caxton before the match, so.
Are they on target, boats?
they weren't saved. Let's say that. I think the majority of our shots, Dave, going back seriously for a second, were in that second half, because I remember all Brisbane shots coming in that first half. So yeah, I didn't think there was that many shots, but obviously we must have taken some in the second half when we were obviously chasing the game for the win.
I can obviously see as well. From the amount on target, we had 11 shots on target. I can see why Jamie Young won man of the match. But we'll jump back prior to the match, Bodes, and the celebrations, particularly, were around anniversary.
Good, you're not going back that far.
The celebrations for the day were around the 10th anniversary of the Jets' grand final win, and social media was awash with stories. I mean, was that something that you enjoyed seeing and reminiscing as the day went on?
Yeah, it was brilliant, Dave, and I must admit I saw a couple of teary and emotional eyes from yourself and others, and yeah, I was really proud to see that how big this moment was for football in Newcastle. So yeah, it was great.
Glenn, as well, we all were all at the Caxton at some point. Some saved us a seat well in advance. Bodes, Gav, Emma, Ferns. It was very generous of them. But there were a number of travelling fans that showed up and really got into the spirit. The Jets bus even went down past the Caxton Hotel as well. And how did you find that whole weekend up in Brisbane?
I thought it was fantastic. It's one of, I guess, the game was great. It was great to get the win, but it was almost secondary at the end of the day, because just the build up and like as you say, reminiscing about the anniversary 10 years on of the grand final and where we each were on that day. I mean, the game was, and the win was the cream on top, but everything else was, it just built it up to just a wonderful experience.
I mean, Bose, It was kind of surreal for myself, because I had people like Andy Jacob, shout out Andy, who came along and introduced themselves to me as someone who listened to the Championship Chronicles and a listener to the pod, and wanted to introduce me to their friends as well, which was absolutely, as I say, surreal. we're just some people who get together on a Monday and a Wednesday night and talk some crap about football.
Talk a lot of crap.
Talk a lot of crap. I mean, it was exciting and really interesting. Just the mix of fan as well. Everyone was there, and some even went. And I didn't realize it was Shane from Twitter who really went to extensive effort with the Jet shape hat. See, Laurie, they can be done with the Jets balloon hat. That was there was some really good sights at the pub.
Yeah, there was, and I think Joey Champness has ended up with the Jet shape hat, so hopefully he was he put it in his carry-on luggage and has given it to Laurie for a sampling. So yeah, well done, Shane, on getting the Jet shape hat. But yeah, no, it was brilliant. And there was a good mix of age too. There wasn't just the middle age. There was younger people, older people. Yep. Yeah, it was just a brilliant day, and I'm just glad that I remember some of it.
Yeah, and look, if anything was to be reflected, Joey probably would have had to fight to get the Jets-shaped hat out as much as he'd fight to get the Jets-shaped hat in to the stadium. You know, those, less said about that, the better. Starting lineup, neither of you were on the pod on Thursday night, so you can't really debate this, but I'm going to say I was right about McGree. He had a really good start to the match, and he was tearing it up, Glenn.
Yeah, he was. The only thing I will say is I still think he's more suited to a central role, but we've got a glut of options in that position. So you were bang on. He was a straight swap for Pato, the injured potato. So yeah, I think maybe we'll probably get into a bit later, but it probably left Georgievski a little bit more exposed than he might normally have been. Simply because McGree just has that want to drift inside. But didn't end up costing us in the end. But, bang on, you were right. So well done to you.
You win nothing.
Come on, it's got to be worth a couple of bold prediction points. And Glenn, I also looked back because I wrote down the scores of the preview as per our discussion about the Perth game. I actually did tip the score. So
you did tip it?
Yeah, I did. I tipped Perth 2-1.
3-2.
Yeah.
2-1, sorry, yeah. Yeah, nice one.
Interesting, Bodes. The most interesting selection for me was Angus Thurgate coming back into the team. Did you find that an interesting choice? Because our bench was very concentrated on both attacking options in Thurgate and Champness, thank you, and Vojica and Jackson in a defensive sense. It really left us with no coverage in the midfield should something have happened. Of course, Riley McGree could have slotted in. But was Thurgate in particular an interesting selection for you?
I guess it depends on what Laurie was thinking. I like Thurgate. I think for the youth team, he actually does play a little bit of central midfield. I know in the youth season just gone by, he played a little bit there. So, yeah, look, I think he deserves it. And I think it's a reward, too, for earning that contract he got for the rest of the year.
Glenn, the match was really in very humid conditions, as you can probably attest. The match was started with quite
perfect
a high tempo.
Perfect person to ask.
it was a tight match, and the first chance did fall to Roy O'Donovan, who was put through one-on-one. He had a real poor first touch, but he failed to finish. Are we starting to get a bit worried about Roy's form since his return?
No, I mean, it's to be expected. He was out, 10 weeks or something like that, close to 3 months. He's getting better. He's making more of those runs. That first touch is what did him in. Normally he would take that inside and he'd be between the defender and the goal. As it turns out, as you say, he put it to his left, which allowed the defender to come and cover a bit more and reduced his angle on goal. So, I mean, he still got the shot away on target. It was a decent save. Any keeper in the A-League should really save that, but you know, I think we've got to be patient with him. We know what he can do when he's firing, and even the best strikers in the world go through rough patches, and he's only just coming back from a pretty difficult injury to get over as well, soft tissue in that the groin region. So, he's in the first 5 weeks. He's done more than enough to earn a bit of leeway from the fans and the coaching staff, I think.
At what point, and this is me just creating discussion, I don't actually believe that he is under pressure, but Bodes, at what point do you think a level of scrutiny may be applied to him? Because I mean, we don't play for the Mariners for another 6 weeks, so we can't wait for him to go down there and score another hattie.
We can't.
But are we looking maybe the next game or two that we're going to start to ask questions about Roy's return and say, is his work rate enough? Like, not that he's... Is the work rate he provides enough for his contribution?
You kind of... If you'd left the question before you went into that, I would have said, Dave, that his work rate is enough for me to have him in the squad. He's just an absolute harassment up top. But look, I think the goals will come. He just needs to keep looking for those chances, and he'll get one. I guess it was injury. I think that put him under that. Oh, not sorry. It was his comeback from injury that's made it difficult for him to find those chances. I don't think he's had as many since he's got back. I can only think of two or three now in the 2 weeks he's been back. If anyone can think of any more,
yeah, well, he had two. He had five chances in this game. Yeah, five shots, two on target.
Five shots, okay. Fair enough, yep.
Yeah, so, but look, I will say one thing, and this is probably a testament to the team morale, or the team's morale at the moment. He was, for Joey Champness's goal, he was actually free in the centre of the park, and he's calling for the ball, like, play me in, and Champness shoots and scores, and there's some players in the world that I strikers in particular, that would probably crack it over a player not playing them in despite scoring. But as soon as that ball hits the net, no one I saw jumped higher than Roy. So it's probably a good sign, Bodes, that while things aren't going in, he retains his win, his undefeated streak for the Jets, and is still looking happy in the team.
Yeah, just a genuine team player, and the bloke who's got the best of the team at the mind and his own personal accolades.
Jamie Young, man of the match. Glenn, in this, just one of the saves, string of saves that he pulled off was Andrew Nabu in the 17th minute. Another one at Andrew. I think he was put through one-on-one, tried to slide it across, and it was a fabulous save by Young. What is it about Jamie Young, do you think, that we've got past him twice, but he's just like a brick wall against us?
Yeah, he's not a bad keeper. He's probably, I'd say he's top four, five in the league. And I know there's only 10 teams in it, but he's definitely not down the lower end of the scale. I think he's a really talented keeper. He knows how to make himself big and put opposition strikers off. So I think Brisbane would be in, it goes without saying, really, Brisbane would be in a lot worse position if it wasn't for him keeping the goals out that he has been, especially against us. He made and that save against off Dimmy's free kick was immense as well. There's only a handful of keepers in the league that would have gotten to that. So yeah, no, I think I don't think he grows another leg or anything when he plays against us. I just think he's overall a pretty decent keeper. He holds his own.
Bodes, down the other end of the field, Jack Duncan was also instrumental in keeping it nil all at half time. Saves from, I mean, we saw Franjic and Avram Papadopoulos put two gilt-edged chances over the bar for the Roar with headers, and a wonderful save from Ben Kalfala and Brett Holman, I think, as well.
Yep.
Right at the end. Yep. Wonderful performance by Jack.
Yeah, and it's, look, ever since he's had that mare of a game against Wellington, he's been 100% focused on his game, and I think... What was the score last week in our game? It's two clean sheets in three games since. So, no, really good. Well done by Jack. And I think you would almost say that number one spot is 100% his again, like it was at the start of the season.
First clean sheet away from home in 28 games as well, Glenn. It's our, as Bode said, it's our second in three. It's our fifth clean sheet in the last 10. Are we quietly starting to build some solidarity as a defensive unit?
It's really good. I mean, how long was it before we got our first clean sheet? It was something like, 21 games going from last season to the first clean sheet we got this season. And the fact that we've got, is it five now total that you said?
Six total
this season. That's, and we didn't even, did we even get one last season?
I think we got three.
Oh, just really? Okay.
Keep on talking. That's all right. Bring the stats
That's okay.
up.
Well, yeah, I mean, even if it was three, we've doubled our tally. There's still six games left. You'd expect maybe one, hopefully two, maybe hopefully more. But, yeah, it's just great to have a solid defensive unit, beginning with the goalkeeper and extending to the back four, whoever they may be on the day.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's fabulous. I mean, I was hoping that we would have got one. We got two last year, I should say, and four the season before. So that's now our sixth of the season. So we've earned as many clean sheets this year as we have in the last two seasons. So that's certainly saying something. A concern that came out of the game as well, Glenn, is a potential knee injury suffered by Nigel Bugard. I didn't see anything in particular that may have caused it, but is that a cause for concern for the Jets going into the match against Sydney this weekend?
Yeah, well, I did notice him hobbling over after the game to the away fans to give a bit of a salute with the rest of the squad, and as you say, I didn't notice anything in the game, and initially, just by the way he was walking, it looked more like an ankle issue. But as you say, since it's come out that he's got a knee complaint, so it was a pretty dodgy. Well, the pitch actually didn't look too bad, but it would have been quite heavy, so it could have just been his stud stuck in, and you know his knees hyperextended throughout that game. But I mean, yes, it is a concern, I guess. If he doesn't play, you've got Jackson there, who I rate, but it's not as an experienced pairing beside Topol Stanley. So hopefully he's good to go, but I'm confident in the backups that we've got to choose from.
I can add to that, Dave. He was on my flight home on Sunday, and he had a knee. He didn't have so much of a brace on, more just a bit of strapping, and he didn't seem to have that much issue walking. He was walking okay, so I'd be a bit more confident than some that he would play this weekend.
The Jets, James Gardner, I should say, in tomorrow's Herald says that he's still in doubt with a knee injury. Obviously, people will be reading that today, so it remains to be seen. But you know, it's going to be an interesting balance that Ernie's got to take. Does he take the risk against Sydney, and with the possibility of saying first may well be completely out of reach, and we've got some clear space and clear air for second, from third, does he look at risking him or giving him the week off to recover with Jackson coming in? And interesting discussion for the team on Wednesday. Moving a bit further forward, the centre-mid partnership, Glenn's best mate Wayne Brown and Steven Ugarkovic, they were fantastic in the middle of the park. I've been at times critical of Wayne Brown, but I thought he and Steve UG were terrific, Glenn.
Oh, 100%. I wasn't as aware of just how good Brown was until I consulted the stats. Like, he definitely had didn't have a nightmare game at all. Like, he didn't put a foot wrong, really. But I was really happy to see his pass accuracy, and the amount of passes that he made was phenomenal, really. Him and Stevie UG, and that ball for Champness that Stevie put through was just absolutely delicious, as Bodie might say.
It was delicious.
Bose, there's been lots of talk about players as fringe socceroos, possibly. Do you think Ugarkovic is potentially coming into that sort of conversation where we could say he could be on the verge? I mean, look, I'll put it to you, if he played for Sydney or Victory, do you reckon he'd be in that conversation?
Yes, I do. But I think, other than the goalkeeping position, I would say the central midfield position is the position we have the most influx of players in the Australian setup. So, and I would go as far to say that Brandon O'Neill and Brillante would deserve a spot before him in the A-League, but he would be in the reckoning in my books.
Okay, just interesting. Anything to add on that, Glenn?
No, I think it's about right, yeah. Even you extend that to Naboot, to Petratos, I think we sort of touched on this before, at the Caxton there. I wouldn't be surprised to see them in a train-on squad. And if they did earn a place in the World Cup 23-man squad, it would be merited. But I think there's a few players at least ahead of them in the pecking order. So
I was just going to say
they're doing their chances no harm, and while they're in great form, even if they don't get selected this time around, I think they'll definitely be in the mix for the next like the Asian Cup qualifiers, etc.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would say, Dave, that Petrados and Naboo were a higher of chance than Nagarkovic was.
That's fair. He's certainly in Jet's career best form. Nagarkovic, he's provided an assist for Hoffman. He's provided now an assist for Champness. He's provided another one as well this year and scored a goal. So
he's got a goal. That's a good goal he took too. Yeah
great goal.
It's good to see a contribution coming from our midfield. It's certainly been missing over the past years. But enough about the Jets for, I guess, a couple of minutes. Brisbane Bows weren't without their own chances. I mentioned the Franjic header, the Avram Papadopoulos miss, the save from Ben Kalfala. They caused us some problems.
Yeah, they did. I thought the Thomas Christensen for them was really good. I thought he got the ball open to Kalfala and Holman a lot of times. So, yeah, look, they were impressive. But I think, I thought in the last 30 minutes we were running over them. So, and I think that just comes down to their age of player. They just haven't... Their squad's made up of teenagers and then 30-plus-year-olds.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, if it's important to score goals down one end, Glenn... It's also important to stop them at the other. It's very captain obvious. But that interception when Enrique came through, I mean, he brought the average age of... Isn't it interesting that a 32-year-old comes on brings the average age of a side down? But he did bring the average age of their team down, and he was put through one-on-one. And look, if it was Enrique of maybe 3 years ago, I'd have just gone, goal. But... That interception and clearance from Nigel Bugard, that was as important as a goal.
Oh, definitely, 100%. And when Enrique was named in the squad, especially after coming back from overseas, did not strike fear into my heart at all. But when he took that ball on, I had the same fear as you did, but... It might have. I don't know whether it's to do with the form that he's in, or whether he's only just been on the field for 5 minutes, so he just didn't have the confidence to take the shot on. But he tried to pass it, square it, but wrong decision, and Bogard was there in the right spot.
I think that Enrique through one-on-one just produces a Pavlovian response just from how many times we've been burnt in the past.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no.
All right. Joey Champness, he's a former Brisbane Roar player. We all know the story there, but he came on and, look, it takes a bold man to predict that a Jet substitute is going to score. But Michael Bodie, tell us about that goal from Joey Champness and that said person's prediction that he would come on and score.
Yeah, it was somewhere between my first Canadian club in the ground and my second Canadian club in the ground, I think. Look, I just got this impression that when a player comes to play at his former team's home ground, they've got the point to prove, and I just could tell with his first touch that he did have a point to prove, and yeah, I thought the whole time he was on the pitch, he was brilliant.
What do you think, Glenn? I thought Joey was one of the changes that brought the Jets the assertive nature. With the Jets playing, provided that those legs overrun them in the final half.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, it was the perfect substitution. I started to get a bit worried that we'd left it a bit late to make those substitutions. I probably could have come a little bit earlier, but it worked out in the end. It was good to see, and it's not the first time that we've seen a pretty attacking substitution as well, not just sort of what we have, we hold. We want to win every game, and the substitutions that we're making are testament to that. So, yeah, I think it just gives the whole team confidence to know that the coaching staff and the players that are on the field aren't just happy to attain the status quo. We want to win every game, and I think that just rubs off on everybody and it just boosts the whole team.
Bodes, the player I mentioned before was Angus Thurgate. I was quietly impressed with the response and the maturity that he held at he held leading the line for the last 9 minutes or so for mm-hmm. Roy O'Donovan, and that pass that he played to put Riley
from McGree,
wasn't that a brilliant ball? I mean,
yeah, it was brilliant.
Played, yeah, keep
someone. Yeah, keep no, it's just someone playing way above his level of games and age. It was just, yeah, it was fantastic. And look, I think I said it earlier on. I think it's the reason why they've upgraded his contract it's been upgraded from a scholarship contract to a full contract, hasn't he?
No, from a youth contract to a scholarship.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, sorry. Apologies. But yeah, no, brilliant and well deserved.
Yeah, I mean, we take away the 3 points, but I mean, it leaves the Roar in the seventh spot. Glenn, what are your expectations for them as they finish the season, and how do you think that they're looking at that result?
Well, they'll be disappointed. I mean, you've seen the stories about the late challenge from...
Oh, yeah, I didn't mention that.
It's all right. Was it from Bogart or Topor Stanley? I can't remember. Topor. Might have been Topor, yeah. VAR's a bit gun-shy this week after last week's howler. Not the same referee, I might say. He's nowhere to be seen this week, so that was good. But you see that, like, just to go off on a tangent for now, I remember early in the season when the general consensus was the VARs getting too involved, then the next few weeks they backed right off, and then last week there's been another bit of a blow-up. This week it looked like they backed right off again. So, yeah, I'd say Brisbane would be bemoaning their luck a little bit, but at the same time, that shot total doesn't lie, even if it wasn't as easily evidenced to us in the crowd until we looked at the stats. There's 11 shots on target to their 3, so by all counts, it means we created more and probably deserved the 3 points at the end of the day.
Bo, do you want to go any further on that?
No, you summed up perfectly.
What does anyone know why Ross Aloisi was going nuts? Because I saw you look at the
highlights. His last name's Aloisi.
Because he's Ross Aloisi. Mm. But John was holding him back to say, just let it go, just let it go. I mean, was it about the penalty?
It could only be about that.
Yeah, okay.
Sure. I mean, I'd be feeling the same way if the shoe was on the other foot. So I can't blame him.
Do you think Brisbane are a chance at getting into the top six given this loss? I mean, Western Sydney did lose. It leaves 4 points, I think, now between them and sixth spot. Glenn, Bodes, anyone?
I think if any spot in that top six is going to change, I think the sixth spot is the only spot up for grabs. I think the other five are pretty well confirmed.
Do you think Brisbane can reach the finals?
No, I don't.
Okay, no worries. Look a bit further up the table. Melbourne City, I mean, they saw the Jets win. They then had to wait a couple of hours, watch Victory win, and then the pressure was certainly on them to perform over in Perth. And unfortunately, the Perth were on target, and came away with the 3 points. Love you, Tags. How do you reckon City are feeling? Is their mindset perhaps changing from let's go for second to, geez, we got to hold on to third? Bodes, Glenn? Sorry, I'm not doing very good directing of the questions.
No, you're right.
No,
I'm still drunk.
Jump in, Bodes.
there was a lot of pressure on it. And look, to be honest, I was fully confident in City getting, well, I thought, yeah, at the pub at this point, I was full cut. Not half cut, full cut. And
you were having a wonderful time.
I was having a great time. By this point, the music had already started at the Caxton, and my terrible dancing was caught by glimpses of the game. But when Taggart scored that last goal, I certainly stopped dancing and started jumping.
Very good, Glenn. I mean,
yeah, I actually thought Perth could have edged that. I didn't think it was a done deal, especially over in Perth. They're always dangerous, and I don't think you can ever write them off completely at home. So it was surprising in the way that it's not often that results go our way, the way that we would like them to, and we're a long way from having to rely on other teams' results, but it does make a job a bit easier when we can maintain an 8-point gap on third. It just gives us, especially with a massive game coming up on Saturday against first place, who are propping up the rest of the league, if you're to believe some articles that have been bandied about lately. But yeah, there's the other point too. You were saying that this puts pressure on Melbourne City. I mean, I don't know what other teams do, but I'd be very hesitant to let the players worry about any other game but their own. They might watch it, especially with such a long gap between their games. But I think it's just watching other teams' games and getting that in your head is going to put you off yours, I think.
Well, I mean, it was almost the perfect weekend for the three of us. Wolves let you down.
I'm used to it, mate. It's all right.
You're used to it. Your team's getting far ahead. They might as well start playing in the Premier League.
Over the course of history, it's, you know, I'm used to it.
Well, yeah, Liverpool had a good win, and so did Blackburn. Bose, a 2-1 win.
Top of the league, mate.
As well. Oh, very good. Very good. Nice to see. Maybe promotion back into the Championship next year.
Maybe.
Oh, with Shrewsbury as well. Interesting. Highlight for us then, finals are now secured for the first time in 7 seasons. That is massive. We now mathematically cannot finish below the Mariners, so sack-whacking day has now occurred. That's massive. And a wooden spoon has also been avoided. Glenn, what do you think the realistic next goal is for the Jets?
Realistically, I think maintain second.
Okay. Do you think that's all they'll be looking?
100%. And I think before the ball was kicked, the players, like Merrick's sort of said that his aim was top four, I think. But the players came back collectively and said they wanted top two. So I think that's been the aim from the start, at least from the players' perspective. And they're putting themselves in the best position possible. So it'd be great to catch Sydney, but I don't think we can lose sight of the long-term aim. If we're too short-sighted and try and catch them, we might open ourselves up for a slip, a la Gerrard. So,
hey. I'm the one that tells jokes here, bud. I'm going to edit that out.
I think they've just got to maintain their current course. Top two is achievable. It has been from about week 5 of the season. It's getting closer and closer. Just stay the course, and it all should come to fruition in the end.
Ernie Merrick spoke about the Jets' next ambitions were fourth, Bodes. Do you think that he's keeping his cards close to his chest, much like Glenn said?
Yeah, I think he's just playing down the card and trying not to get the fans and the faithful up in arms and excited. Look, for me, I think the realistic expectation is automatic ACL qualification, and that comes two ways, by being in the grand final with Sydney if they win the championship, or winning the championship if Sydney don't make it, because by all means it looks like they're going to win the premiership. So for me, yeah, realistic expectation is we're in the group stages of the ACL next year.
We get the
playoff spot if we finish second, and then the second spot goes to the championship winner. But if Sydney win, it then goes back to the team who finished second.
Okay, very good.
I hope I explained that well enough.
Mate, it was crystal clear. It was no drunk rambling at all. So, beautiful. Gets to player of the match. We're not going to do player of the match. We're going to go listen to Ernie's press conference. I think that's a great segue into it. So, here he is, Ernie Merrick.
Yeah, I thought Jamie Young had another tremendous game. We've won all three now this year against Brisbane. And twice Jamie Young's been the man of the match, and we had 20 shots to Roar's 10, and I thought Jamie was outstanding. The free kick, even the one right at the end from young Riley McGree, who I was really impressed with. Riley, he hasn't played 90 minutes for a long time, and he did really well. I thought we pressed the whole game, but we got caught out at the back a few times as well, and both teams had chances. Goalkeepers played a major part, but the bottom line was finishing, and we pulled off a finish and nearly got another one at the end. So I think John would be disappointed, but his team played really well.
Did you think you were going to get the momentum much better if you
get up to that. Yeah, the humidity, you know, got to the boys. We're used to the heat being in Newcastle, but the humidity was tough, and Roy was suffering a wee bit. Andrew Naboot had a very heavy cold. He just ran out of energy. And at the end, we were going to take off Riley, but Dimmy was holding his hamstring, so I just didn't want to take any risks with him. The other thing that bothered me is we've got four players on four yellows. We were hoping that none of them would get five, because after this round, it moves to eight yellows before you're suspended. So we got through without any yellows as well. The only question mark we have is Nigel thinks he might have hurt his knee in the last 10 minutes, Nigel Bogard. Once again, the two centre-backs were outstanding. Look, we didn't have a bad player on the park, but Riley was just sensational when he started to play and come inside and go outside and get a lot of the ball.
10 years since the Jets last won a title, say, a result like that in a season like the one you've been having, there's quite a thirst inside the club at the moment. People around it for another one.
Well, we had a tremendous travelling support. We had 200 to 300 people come up for this game, which is fantastic. We've increased our crowds by 20%. I think we're the only team to do that, or anywhere near that. In fact, there's only two teams, I think, improved their crowds. So we're on a bit of a roll. But I refuse to talk about titles or grand finals. After tonight's scoreline, we are definitely in the top six. We can't be knocked out of it now. The distance between ourselves and the seventh team is too great for us to be knocked out. So really what we've got to focus on now is being in the top four and maintaining those type of results. And to have our youngsters come on and do so well, especially Joey Champness, who just seems to just create things. He's got blistering pace, and then to get forward and take that goal so well, he did really well. And then the young Gus Thurgate, he did a terrific job as well, because Roy, who hasn't really played 90 minutes yet, that's only his third game back after 10 weeks. But it's looking good that the boys are getting fitter moving towards the finals. So we've got another six games to play. We've got Sydney next week. Ronnie Vargas covered 10Ks on his own today, and he's training super hard, so he'll probably be back in about 2 weeks as well. Ben Kantorowski's recovered from his injury, so he'll be back in. So Pato is out, Rodriguez with a calf strain, but we've got more and more players coming back to full fitness.
Have you signed Pato on a deal that will allow you to keep him when Ronnie comes back?
Yes, a couple of our players have moved on, Devante Clute and Daniel Alessi, so we've signed them to the end of the season. So we've got him and Ronnie to the end of the season. He'll probably be back for the finals. Ronnie will definitely be back in a couple of weeks, probably for the Auckland game against Phoenix. So we're coming really strong at the right time. It's another clean sheet. Our goalkeeper was also outstanding when it counted. And I think the crowd would have enjoyed the game, because it was end-to-end sort of stuff. There wasn't too many breaks, you know, for injuries or whatever. It was end-to-end stuff. And that's the sort of entertaining football that brings crowds back to the game.
When did Devante leave?
About 3 weeks ago, 2 to 3 weeks ago, and he's gone to a New South Wales NPL side. He needs to get game time, and the same with Daniel. They've gone to NPL 1 in New South Wales, and he'd be hoping to get an A-League side at the end of that season, and I think that he's made a good move. It's just too tough to get in. He's a number 10. It's too tough to get in our side with the players we've got in that position, like Demi Petratos and Ronnie, and now we've got Riley as well that can play number 10.
On Champness, are you surprised that he didn't get more of a chance here when he was here?
Well, I can't answer that. I'm not sure how he went when he was at Brisbane, but for us, you know, a typical youngster, he's not consistently a high performer. But we've got far more out of him this year than I thought we'd get. And if he's in the mood, he's in the mood. And he's very deceptive, because half the time he doesn't know what he's going to do. So I don't know if the defenders know what he's going to do. But he just got an eye for goal and just finishes really well. All right, boys. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks again to Fox Sports for their ongoing use of the audio with that match press conference right there. Good to hear from Ernie. So, player of the match, Glenn, who was your player of the match?
This is a really tough one because there were a lot of really good performances that we've highlighted along the way. But I can't get past Stevie UG. He was just phenomenal in the middle of the park, and the icing on the cake was that assist. I could watch that all day.
Fair enough, Bodes.
Can I have some special mentions first? Special mentions to the Waincoat for battling the humidity to play 90 minutes in the stands. Also, another special mention to that knobhead that was standing behind us. who was calling Champness a princess until he scored, at which time Glenn and myself turned around and gave him an absolute bollocking. So, yeah, special mention to that guy. Thank you for calling Champness a princess.
That was
bollocking. And lastly, to the whole crowd, the whole Newcastle Jets fan base who travelled up. I thought they were brilliant. But yeah, I'm with Glenn. Man of the match, Stephen Agarkovic. I thought he was fantastic.
And for me, it was Bugard. And NewcastleFootball.net, if you do want to vote, you can jump onto the forums there and join in any of the... I mean, geez, it depends on who puts the thread up as to the... the name of it is this week the Salami Sackwack Stooge of the Match. So there is a Player of the Match thread, so you can jump in there and add your 3-2-1s. So they voted for Jack Duncan this week. It was pretty close between him and Bugard, Ugarkovic, McGree, Brown. Just having a quick look. Hoffman, they all got some votes as well, but yeah, generally it's Duncan, second Bugard. So, it was a fun weekend. Guys, just some of the highlights from your weekend. Any best chants that you came across? A couple of good chants, I thought.
There were some pearls.
Yeah, it was good.
The chants for all the kids were fantastic. Yeah, the Inspirations Paints one was interesting.
Yeah, you're kids and you know you are.
My
favourite was, is this a fire drill, when the rain came and everyone started walking up the back and we're all seeing
Waincoat's on fire.
Waincoat's on fire was brilliant.
The weather is terrified.
That was all good fun. And special mention as well to Ferns, not only for that pre-match video. He certainly wasn't able to do a post-match because his phone had been confiscated. But also for selling sponsorship to a company that... have yet to take up the offer, because the case that he said our sponsorship was going to cost that gets kept at my place for live pods hasn't arrived yet. So until that case arrives, we won't be mentioning any sponsors.
Mm. So you say we sell sponsorship on a case by case basis.
Oh. I think that's the title. it was also good to see the Jets' Nui Marquee was there as well. So Nui Marquee was there. He was in fine form.
Yeah, providing us all with a bit of shelter. That was good.
Good. There wasn't enough Waincoats to go around for everyone.
No, not
at all. Generally,
too hot.
It was. It did not precipitate as much as I was hoping for.
And special thanks to Emma for carrying around Ferns' sunglasses, the Waincoat post-match, also my ponchos, and anything else she had in her bag. So, yeah, thanks, Em. Guys, that about wraps it up for me. Just a quick bit of news. ABC 1233 Newcastle, they've got a SoundCloud page. Also check them out on Twitter, probably through the Facebook as well, but I haven't checked. But Ben Homer, who is an employer there, also does work on Bar Sports TV. But it's Bar TV, sorry. It's Bar TV. And also the Jets pod, The Wingman, when they were doing that, has pulled together a 20-minute special, very similar to the Championship Chronicles. So give that a listen. Follow that up through SoundCloud. Episode 8 of the Championship Chronicles came out on Saturday, so hopefully everyone has downloaded and enjoyed that. And also episode 9, the final episode of the series. Now, there is a 10th special episode separate to the series, but is under the Championship Chronicles banner. Comes out on Wednesday, and that's the final episode in the series. That's a reflection from all the players on that season. So any news or anything from you guys?
No, just you've done perfectly, a good job, perfect, Yeah, perfectly timed release of episode 8 on Saturday. Perfect timing for the flight up. And the perfect length almost too. I started listening as I was in the at the boarding gate, and then pretty much just as I got off the plane and headed to my accommodation in Brisbane, the podcast had ended, and it was a fantastic listen. So thanks again, as always, for your hard work and efforts over the past 3 years pulling it all together.
Mate, no, it's absolutely pleasure, and thanks to Matty Chump as well, who pointed out that I made it 90 minutes plus a bit of air, plus a bit of additional time, so that really didn't occur to me. It was released early for those catching the early flight. I did take that into account, but I didn't expect that it would 90 minutes, something that passed me.
Should give yourself a high five.
Give myself a high five. Good on you. If anyone's interested as well, by the way, in joining an away trip, joining the fun that we do have, there will be another opportunity, certainly with the Mariners game in the final round. If you've never been to an away game, I can certainly highly, highly recommend them. They are good fun. They are in good spirits. Brisbane were terrific, and I must say, give credit as well to both the Raw fans and the Jets fans as well, who paid their respects in the 11th minute with a minute's applause for Liam Miller. Chants from the Jets of Miller, or was it Liam? They chanted his name regardless. Mm. So, well done to both sets of fans there. So that was very respectful. Thanks very much for joining us, guys. Glenn, thank you.
No, thanks for having me. And I'm really looking forward to the next interstate away trip next season, wherever that may be. It's always a good time.
Yeah, great fun. Great fun. Bodes, thank you, mate.
Dave.
Go back. Go have an early night, mate. Jeez. If people want to find the Jet Stream, we invite all listeners to send any questions, comments, feedbacks, topics to Facebook at facebook.com/JetStreamNewey, Twitter and Instagram at JetStreamNewey, and also email us at podcast@newcastlefootball.net. Find us on the Jet Stream, on the newcastlefootball.net sub forums as well. And until then, go the Jets.
Go Wayne Coat.
Wayne Coat's on fire. Oh, bloody hell.
For the last time, the ventriloquist goes to heaven, the dummy does not.
Oh, geez, which are you or the puppets? Or who's the puppet
master? how good is it that they don't serve shots in Newcastle? It's so dangerous.
It's called the Michael Bodie law.
Yeah, and I'm glad it's been brought through. I'm going to work to get it national.
You do that, Bodes. You do that. I'm down, Benjamin.